Blog Talk Radio.
Tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your old brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just glorify and magnify your name, and thank you, thank you, thank you, with gratitude, Father God, for giving us your breath and your strength today. Thank you, Father God, that you're developing us to be men and women of God, going forward to tell somebody that you love them. Father God, I thank you as I give it to deliver the word, Father God. Let David decrease and let the Holy Spirit rise up in me and bring all things to remembrance of your word. Let your word go in truth, Father God. Let those receive you, Father God. Let them have ears to hear. Let them have a heart to receive and a heart to believe in you, Father God. I am the messenger, but Father God, let it reach them in their heart, the message of death. Father God, that it gets deep into their heart and their soul and mind. And Father God, it propels them forward to want to go out and tell somebody about your love. Because as the song said, Father God, there's a dying world out there. People are hurting. People are in pain. People are displaying it, Father God, through their behaviors, Father God, because they don't know you. They don't know the love that you give, Father God. The love that you give, Father God, is beyond one could even measure or sum up words to say. All they need to know, Father God, is that you are real. But they need someone, Father God, to tell them the truth. Father God, let us be soldiers to go forward, Father God, and let them know, Father God, in faith, that you are real. You are real. As real as the sun sitting in the sky, Father God. As real as the trees that rise up to the sky, Father God. You are real. So, Father God, I thank you that you use this messenger, Father God, to send your word out, Father God, into the world. And let, Father God, it reach the poor, the oppressed, Father God, the blind so they can see. Let us become true warriors of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited, and as we used to say in the Army, I am pumped up to talk about God's word. The more I read his word, the more I study his word, the more pumped up I get. So as we go forward today, we'll share a few quotes with you. There are two kinds of people. One can call reasonable, those who serve God with all their heart because they know him, and those who seek him with all their heart because they don't know him. Listen in silence, because if your heart is full of other things, you cannot hear the voice of God. And we must alter our lives in order to alter our hearts, for it is impossible to live one way and pray another. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And in Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Let me say that again. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. People's hearts are turned to stone, and we see it right now. But God can change them. God can turn it around and give them the heart of flesh, give them the heart of Christ. Hallelujah. So I was reading, and I found this story I thought was very interesting. Looking for business, but not Jesus. This young man as a business person was well accomplished, but on the inside, he was falling apart. He said his first few weeks in the mortgage business, he set the company record by starting and finishing a mortgage loan in 5 days. Then he broke his own record 2 years later by doing it in 4 days. And after a year and a half of doing mortgage, he helped start a mortgage company. His friends would describe him as a man who was successful, driven, hardworking, well put together. But he said he was going out every weekend drinking and doing drugs on occasionally. On the outside, I heard my doctor tell me this. He seemed pretty happy, looked pretty healthy. No one knew that on the inside, he wanted to change. Then last spring, a friend and a coworker invited him to a network breakfast. He had no idea that it was going to be a Christian event. And as the program continued, he listened to a guy by the name of Ann Cook, a pitcher from the Colorado Rookies, share how he relied on God for leadership and guidance in his life and career. Immediately after the event, he was introduced to Gary Fuller, a prior associate of a staff member. Gary asked if he would like to meet with him. He thought, well, if I can get the Christian group, maybe I can get a bunch of business out of here, new contracts, new contacts. I figured I knew how to act like a Christian. And Gary and him went to Panera Bread and asked each other a ton of questions. And he had to admit he realized his personal life was messed up. Gary offered to spiritually mentor him, and he thought, well, maybe this is my chance to change. But I figured it would be really expensive, so he said, well, he told him it would be free. He was all in. But because of his partying, he thought he had crossed the line of no return. He thought he was too much of a sinner to pray and be forgiven. But Gary explained that God is always willing to forgive. Hallelujah. And after a couple of meetings, he had committed his life to Christ. He said Gary and him continued to meet up around the bread once a week, and they would have, this went on for about a year and a half. He said he'd go through the simple steps of learning the Bible, God, and Jesus. As they discussed other areas of his life, he began to develop his faith, and if you will, it was ever increasing. So instead of living with guilt and fear, now he's living with the relationship of God that has changed the way he acts. He had left the party scene, and he was going to church, and he was more focused and willing to follow and pray to God. And he said, well, he couldn't get no sleep at night. Now he has that peace to surpass understanding, and he called it remarkable. People, the moral of the story is that people may not know your heart motives, but Jesus sees right into your heart. And even when we think we're one step ahead of the people, Jesus is always 1 mile ahead of us. Therefore, remember, Jesus searched the heart, despite our good or bad intention. For when God's plan is in motion, it will not return void. Hallelujah. See, Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. So this leads me into our story. Get into the heart of the matter in Christ. Hallelujah. Get into the heart of matter is really another nice saying that goes along with the rest of the cliches that we as Christians like to use in our Christian walk. We like the words that move our hearts, such as love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control. And yet these are all part of the fruits of the Spirit for which we should aspire to execute on a daily basis. And perhaps if we were not so limited in our meaning of these attributes and behavior, we would see these things from different perspectives. Yet this is what this series is all about. Getting right down to the heart of the matter in Christ, where we begin to learn, develop, and display spiritual fruits throughout our journey from the perspective and of mind and the heart of Jesus, with the hope that others as well as ourselves will know that they are good and we can partake of. Hallelujah. Getting to the heart of the matter is about the seeds of love that were planted from God's Spirit, then cultivated through His Word, and then shared from the heart to His sheep. These fruits we share are founded on the spiritual principles of love. See, the scripture tells us in John 21:17, the third time He said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Go and tell somebody, feed my sheep. With the world in a state of emergency, cities on lockdown, protesting, rioting, unmerited killing, where people really don't know how to respond to the many situations that is oppressing them from all angles. Therefore, it would appear even more imperative that we get to the heart of the matter. Hallelujah. We all know that there are many remedies available to treat mental and physical ailments like depression, anxiety, general frustration with life. But how does one heal the crushed spirit or the broken heart? People, this is what we're seeing now. Broken spirits and broken hearts. See, when you look at a newborn, 99.99999%, they don't come here with a broken spirit or a broken heart. But Earth, Wind & Fire said it best when Maurice White wrote in the song, he say, "A child is born with the heart of gold, born with the spirit of God." They're just laughing. Even after they get hit on their little tail, they break out, they cry a minute, then they get that little pretty smile on their face. Their spirit is not broken. Their heart is not broken. But the ways of the world or the cares of the world turn that heart cold. It turns it into stone. See, Psalm says in 34:8, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit." Hallelujah. That's what we were, people, bankrupt spiritually, broken spirits, but Jesus came to save us. And in Proverbs 15:13, He said, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face." And we know when people are in love and they're feeling good and they're walking on the cloud, they can't wait to see that lover. They can't wait to see their husband or their wife. They can't wait to get to that new job that's paying them over $100,000. They can't wait to go on stage because they are stopped or they got a smile on their face. But let it turn around, and the spirit gets broken. Because it say, "But the sorrow of the heart, the spirit becomes crushed." It becomes crushed. And we've seen many people become crushed. I just saw a young man, I think his name is Nick Cannon. I'm sure now his spirit is broken. Because of the fact that he was impulsive, he didn't follow the wisdom of God, he went on his own, leaning to his own understanding, he compromised what God had blessed for him to be a 20-year running show because he now, like Satan, had too much pride. And what does the scripture tells us? Pride before the fall. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Why do I emphasize the heart of mind? Because the heart is important to God. In the Strong Exalted Concordance of the Bible, which is the listing of the primary words contained in the King James Version of the Bible, the brain is not mentioned once, whereas the heart is cited 826 times. Hence, it means mind, soul, spirit, and one entire emotional nature and understanding. And in all things, we should get understanding. See, we don't do a whole lot of work on understanding our emotions. We just let them ride like a roller coaster. We like the peaking going up. It's nice and easy, and it feels good. And then when that thrill, we going down. And then all of a sudden we're down to like a bad high. All of a sudden now you're just bummed out. And then you got to do it again. See, but God is not like that. He's consistent. He's consistent. Hallelujah. He is consistent. Yes, praise be unto God. So again, we have to look at these things. And we look at God's word and we understand, as I said, that the scripture tells us the broken heart, the crushed spirit is compromised. And we see all these things. But the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 6:5-6, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. They should be on your heart. Loving God with all your mind, heart, and soul. This should be on your heart. It says keep it in the midst of thy heart. You should keep God's word in front of your eyes and incline your ears to his saying. Let's get to the heart of the matter. God knows the true existence of our spirit lives, where everything truly matters resides in our heart. The heart is the locus of physical spiritual being and represents the central wisdom of feeling as opposed to the head wisdom of reasoning. The fact is that the heart of the matter is most of what we see in relation to attitude, ideology, behavior in the world today that is driven by the heart, will, and emotion. What we see in people is people moving by the pseudo-ideal of the heart. They're moved by the Hollywood version of the heart, not the meaning that God means when he says soften that heart. See, people have become callous, insensitive. They're showing TV programs that becomes insensitive to killing, insensitive to relationships, insensitive to communication. Most of these modern technology things are wonderful. They have their purpose. It'd be foolish not to think that they're not really something that we can use the right way. However, we know that now these new technologies, such as these phones and texts, have making people insensitive to each other. They can't even communicate to each other. Yes, I realize that it has its own language, but that language puts a distance between people. You cannot read people over the telephone. You cannot get the true cues and understanding of the body language over the telephone. That's why my daddy used to always say, if you're on the phone more than 15 minutes, you need to be over their house, because now you're going to get the true meaning of what the heart is all about. You see, my friend, what's in a man comes out of a man. So Matthew 6:20 tells us that for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So like that young man I spoke about early, his treasures was all about worldly treasure. But don't the word tell us to build our treasures up in heaven? See, I get it, because I was that young man, driven, full of passion. I've been working since I was 6 years old. I was a hustler. I hustled the streets. I hustled what I could to get a dollar or a quarter, whatever it was, to get in my pocket. I did what I had to do because that's the way the world had conditioned me. Build your treasures up here on earth. So where was my heart at? On the treasures here on earth. On the treasures here on earth. Yeah, I heard about God. I went to church. I put my little nickel in when I was a kid and my dollar in when I was a teenager and put a little more in. I become an adult. But I didn't know God's word because my heart was about the world. And again, I was telling someone today, you can't get bent out of shape. This was about a young lady and her daughter. I said, you can't get bent out of shape by the sense of what your daughter is presenting, first because she's young, but secondly because the world is bombarding her to get her to build her treasures here on earth. How and what the world says should be. As I always like to go back to the Wizard of Oz, if the wizard for the day say the color is green, the color is green. If the color for the day is yellow, the color for the day is yellow. Right now we have all these things going on. Black Lives Matter, kill people, hurt people, take this from people, power, power, power. Well, all the things that Jesus was tempting in the wilderness for, building these treasures on earth. That's what Satan tried to get Jesus to do, build his treasures on earth. But he knew that the treasures that were long-lasting and forever and eternal was in heaven. See, people, they get us to move on our emotions. According to an article written in the Annual Review of Psychology titled Emotion and Decision Making, through their research, they discovered that emotion constitutes powerful, persuasive, predictive, sometimes harmful, sometimes beneficial drive of decision making. We have seen this many times in the Word of God. When Jesus' disciple, there was Peter, who was impetuous, quick to speak before he thinks. John and Andrew, who were known as the Sons of Thunder for their volcanic character, because they wanted to call down the fires of the Samaritan village for denying hospitality to the Master. See, those emotions will drive you. They walking with Jesus. They walking with the word. They hearing the word every day, but they were driven by that passion, driven by the old ways and teaching that they got from the Mosaic Law. They felt that they had a right to do this. Then there was Simon the Zealot, who was a man of passion, exercised patriotism, sort of a freedom fighter among the 12 disciples, an extremist, totally against the domination of Rome, thus bring some of the radical views into the circle from time to time. He would be the one we see out right now in the public among the protesters and the rioters. He was driven by those emotions. And then we had another radical. Paul was radical, thinking he was serving God by killing Christians. Driven by that passion. Driven by his passion of the Mosaic Law. Well, but on the road to the Mass, Jesus appealed to Paul, and he said in Acts 9:4, he fell to the ground and heard the voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you prosecute me?" All the time, Paul thought, at that time, thought he was doing the right thing, driven by that passion. But, oh, God can take those gifts and talents, and he can turn it around and use those same passions for his glory, for his purpose, for his will. See, Jesus got to the heart of the matter. And in Mark 7:21-23, it states that from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensitivity, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within. What's in a man, come out of man. And they defile a person. You see, the world bombards us to get in us what Satan wants us to have. And he knows your weakness. He knows your stronghold. He knows this. But God knows it too. This is why we have to turn to him for guidance and not lean to our own understanding. See, from the picture painted from the scripture book, it would give one impression that we as human beings are compromised in our attitudes, behaviors, morals, and principles with no hope in sight. And even if we were trying to do the right thing, somewhere, somehow, deceit, pride, and foolishness would rise his ugly head. Therefore, what in the world can we do to overcome, to develop the mind and heart of Christ? When we truly get to the heart of the matter? And better yet, if you want to say what really matters within the heart and head of Christ, and heart of Christ, hallelujah. So here's a few steps to consider towards you having that heart and mind of Christ. The first step. Accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As long as you within in the world and doing what the world calls, you're going to miss out. But the word tells us we can be in the world, but not of the world. We make a change. We change the way we see things. See, the scripture tells us that when we accept Christ out of John 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, you don't want to build your treasures here on earth because they're temporal. You're temporal. If I just saw a bodybuilder at 103 years old, but in the scheme of eternity, he's lightweight. You're lightweight. He's just a vapor. See, so eternity is what we want to move to. See, we want to get the heart and mind of Christ. See, Jesus understood that. And in Romans 10:9, say, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about preserving you. See, what does the word say in 1 Corinthians 13? It tells us that love always preserves. See, if we preserve something, it's still around. See, Jesus wants us to be around even after we let this body go back to the ground. Hallelujah. And then in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. Let me say that again. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This ain't something we earn, people, as I talked about another series. We didn't earn this, that unmerited favor, that power, that love that God has. And let me tell you something else about love. The first thing when you read it, it says love is patient. See, God is patient with us. Some of us been a mess. We've been messed up from the neck up for a long time. And some of us had dibbed and dabbed, some have straddled the fence, some been on one side of the grass and on the other side. We've been missing it. But God is patient. Because why? His love is kind. His love is kind. Hallelujah. Then the next thing we want to do is seek the kingdom. The word tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're talking about that righteousness again. And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, forget not all his benefits. that he healed all thy diseases. He redeemed thy life from destruction. He forgave all infirmities. And hallelujah. And he puts good things in our mouth so that our youth can be renewed like the eagle. I told someone I was 62 and they thought I was 42. Hallelujah. I'll take them 20 years. Hallelujah. Why? Because God can renew you. He can rejuvenate you. He can make you from old to brand new. Hallelujah. So you want to seek out the kingdom because all these glorious things, see people getting surgeries and they're changing the way they were designed. But when you go into God and you get in his kingdom, you don't need those surgeries. You just need the surgery on the spirit. You need the surgery on the heart because once God do the surgery, not a heart that potentially you go in the anesthesia and don't come out. No, when God goes to working on your heart, you come out smelling like a rose because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God will make you the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. And I'm not talking about here treasures on earth, people. Let's get to the heart of the matter. I'm talking about those treasures up in heaven. And how do you get to this point? The next step is you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, again, as I always like to say, and this is imperative, I always like to say that we got to get our mind changed. Because I'm 62, the devil was busy for a long time of my life. And I'm still battling. I'm still fighting a good fight of faith. I'm still in a race. I was telling one of my mentors today, I thank her for keeping me inspired, being iron sharpening iron, motivating me, inspiring me to keep me in the race. See, I always say it, Jesus is the only one going to be number one to cross first, but the rest of us are going to stagger in, but I just want to be in the race. And when I got somebody on the side giving me water, I got someone on the side cheering me on, I got somebody giving me a towel, I got someone running pacing me, oh, I'm going to be in the race. Because, see, God is going to work on the heart, he's going to work on the spirit, and he's going to keep you propelled forward. See why? Because he gives you a hope for the future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he says here in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. Get in the race. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable service. See, I like that word, reasonable. That's what I talk about. Because I always say, just what is reasonable? What is reasonable? They even say it in the courtroom. What a reasonable doubt. What is reasonable? See, man, as my chaplain said, the only way you see where you see perfection is in the dictionary. See, because the only one that's perfect is God. The only one perfect is Christ. The only one perfect is wisdom. The only one that's perfect is Jesus. See, and the Holy Spirit. So we know that we got to stay in the race. But he tells us what to do. But being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, not the perfect will of you. Not you being perfect, the perfect will of God. See, because what God sends out to get accomplished will not return void. So then, number four is, we have to love him. See, the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 36, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul. Check this out. And live. You know what he said? I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So you begin to live in Christ. You begin to become a beneficiary, a joint heir, where you get all the good things. I was telling somebody today, now, a little humorous, I said, I really don't care about the crown. I'll take it. But if I could just be on the streets of gold and see the pearly gates, that'd be all right with me. I don't mind this way. I don't mind in the mind of here, but I don't mind being a street sweeper. I don't mind being a street because those are the real rewards. Those are the things that really are substance where you really get to live. Know what I mean by living? You live in eternity, not in the misery of gashing teeth and pain and suffering. But you're living in that unspeakable joy, true unspeakable joy. You're living in that peace. You're living in the love of God. As that song used to say in Nigeria, oh, I'm living for the love of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And step five is you got to follow him. See, the scripture tells in 1 Kings 14:8, I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. See, God will give you the blessings, as I said, this young man. God gives you the blessing, but when you stray too far to the left and you stray too far to the right, now, God, I don't believe he's petty like man, so I'm going to get you. God will let life, because sin and Satan is about life here, and so he'll let them do what they do. As he showed to, say, his servant Job, prove my servant Job would be faithful. Job was faithful, but God allowed things to happen, but he couldn't kill him. See, he allowed things to happen. See, because we already know Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy, but he couldn't kill him. But he was that example for us to show what being faithful to God would be. And so what happened to Job? He lost it for a minute. So for some of us who have lost our home, lost our cars, lost our wives, lost our husband, lost our children, lost our friend, lost something, God can give it back. It may not be the exact thing that you want, but God can give it back. I had a friend who lost his son years ago, and God gave him three more. Now, obviously, that son that he lost, I always like to say when people transition, yes, the physical loss is devastating. I had the tears the other day. I went to my buddy's house, and he wasn't there. I have the key there, so I had to do some things, but he wasn't there. It wasn't the same, but his spirit comforted. His spirit comes because we never lose the spirit. This is why it's important. As an old policeman, Monty Police, told me, in all that you do, son, build memories. Because when it's all said and done, that's what you'll be left with. So we must build beautiful memories with each other. We must build memories with family. We must build memories with friends. We should not hesitate to build the memories or let them know that they are loved. Let them know they are loved. And then number six is we should keep his word. See, in Deuteronomy 26:16, the Lord your God command you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Let's get to the heart of the matter. With all your heart and all your soul, your will, mind, and emotion. And then in John, he takes it to the New Testament. He says, my new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. See, we hesitate. As I said, people hesitate. They can call you every other four-letter word, but when it comes down to that love word called love, they got all their philosophy, their ideologies, and you know, psychology and every ology you can think of on why you can't love somebody. And then yet to fail to look at the stick in their eye versus looking at somebody toothpick in theirs. See, we need to love. Because I said earlier, what did it say? Love is patient. We got to be patient with each other. I was telling someone today that if you look at these trees, all these trees were identical. Why? Because when they were seeds, they just looked like seeds. And when they were thrown into the ground, they germinated and God cultivated, and next thing you know, they started growing. But if you give them 10 years later, not one tree will be identical. Some will be crooked, some will be straight, some will be large, some will be small, some will have a whole lot of trees, some will have a whole lot of fruit, but none will be identical. But you know what? God was good because he showed that being patient, instead of people getting frustrated and cutting it down, being patient, they would grow to become what God intended them to be. See, that's what God saw with Peter. That's what God saw with Matthew. That's what God saw with John. That's what God saw with Andrew. That's what God saw with Paul. That's what God saw with Ruth. That's what God saw with Esther. God saw the potential, a hope, and a future. See, let's get to the heart of the matter. See, God gets to the heart of the matter. Hallelujah. The number seven, we got to trust in him. And that song say, trust in God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:5 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And Jerry Butler, I think her name was Brenda, but I'm blocking her last name, used to say a song, ain't understanding mellow. Yes. See, it ain't about, let me go back over that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own right viewpoint. Lean not to somebody else's right viewpoint. Lean not to say that they're wrong. Don't go there. He said, lean not to your own understanding. See, because your understanding is about right or wrong. But God's understanding, it has meaning. It has purpose. It has focus. It has balance. It has value. See, God's value and a meaning of understanding is not that we throw the pearls to the swine. Oh, no. See, when God's understanding, what God means with his understanding is that when the pearls are there, you don't have to throw them away because they have value, because you understand the depthness of it. Too long we've been reading the scriptures and we're reading it like it's a romance novel or like a comic book. We need to get that understanding. He say, them that have ears to hear, let them hear. We need to be willing to hear, but we also need to actively listen. We need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the words as they rise up. See, I've asked God when I read the scripture now, let the words rise up. Let them get volume to me in my heart and my spirit. Let them give me a visual. Let me see the picture. Let me see the movie. Create the scene for me, God, so I understand the characters. I understand their emotions. I understand their ideals. I understand their frustrations. I understand their fears. I understand their doubts, because they were human like me. And then when I look at Jesus and how he dealt, and he was tempted by everything, he came down to be human like me, but he didn't fall. So he is the model, but he got 12 more to show you that they ain't perfectly like me, but however, they're moving to be like me. They're on a mission. They move with a purpose, as we used to say in the military. See, we want to get to the heart of the matter. And then it tells us that the step number 8 is believe in him. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. See, now, I'm going to say that this may be so. We have to be realistic. I believe the scripture is telling us not whatever we pray for that does not align up with God's will. See, so many people, I heard the question asked, do you feel that God lets you down? Well, see, I don't feel God ever let me down. I let me down, first and foremost, because I wasn't following his will. Secondly, I let me down because I wasn't in line with his will. Third, I let me down because I didn't know his will. So if I'm going to pray for something, I pray that it aligns with God's will. And I know his scripture tells us that we can be blessed. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. Hallelujah. But what is blessing? Is it the treasures here on earth that we're trying to build for? And I think they have, everything has its purpose. God did not sell David short as king, nor did he sell short Solomon. They have a purpose. But wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure's at. And both of them, being who they were, humans, they fell short. But they never hesitate to come back later and recognize, as they say, train up a child away to go, so when they depart, it will not depart from them. So therefore, they were able to come back. They were like the prodigal son. They recognized the importance, and they understood, because they got understanding when they were growing up, where the real value was, the heart of the matter. And they came back. And they passed on that wisdom to us in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. They passed it on Psalms, to pass that knowledge on. And that's what we got to do. As the song said when we begin the show, go and tell somebody about the heart of the matter. Get down into the heart, because there's where the true treasures will lie if we line ourselves up with God's word. And then Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone to come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, or I like to say as the last week, diligently seek him. See, we seek a lot of things, fame, fortune, men, women, entertainment, travel. We seek a whole lot, but it's all temporal. See, it ain't at the heart of the matter. It's all in the mind. See, all in the mind. If I get this car, if I get this girl, I had a buddy used to tell me, he said, well, when I get a med school, I'm going to get all the girls. He got the med school, it didn't happen. He said, well, when I get this Porsche, I'm going to get all the girls. When he got the Porsche, it didn't happen. He said, well, that's all right. When I become a full-fledged doctor, I'll be able to get the girls. And it didn't happen. See, but when it did happen, when he did get the female, she was a woman of God. She took care of him. I remember many times he would tell the story, because she transitioned of cancer. But she was known at the funeral. She was known as a woman of God. She was a woman of Proverbs 31. I was blessed to spend, I think, 2.5 years with her. And I saw that. And as he told the story many times, she saved his life. saved his life. You see, when God, when you line up with God, he going to give you the best. As they say, he to find a wife, find a good thing. See, God is going to give you his best. It's a blessing. That's what we need to look for. And I like to tell men that the women of the woman they talk about in Proverbs 31, her behavior, attitude, and conduct, and the way she dealt with life, men should move in the same direction. Move in the same direction. We should evolve to become God's best. See, when I thought about getting married the first time, I had a perspective that whatever I learned to do, I was going to take it into the marriage. So my mother told me, you'll be able to do everything a woman do but carry a baby. Hallelujah. So that being said, I could cook, I could clean, I could sew, I could iron. When I went into the military, I told them they were a joke. My mother would put them to shame. She prepared me. She prepared me to be ready. So when I did take on the responsibility of being a father, being a husband, being a family member, I would be a good representation of that role. I would represent God's image of a man. Now, as a human, I fell short. I have no shame to say in the sense of telling the truth. I fell short, but God still revived it. He revived me to become the man as I am today, what he intended to be. See, we're going to go through highs and lows. We're going to make bad decisions. I don't believe in mistakes. So we're going to make bad decisions. We're going to make choices because we lean to our own understanding. And so, therefore, the reward that God had intended for us that will truly be the maximum potential that he intended for us to have, we miss out. We move too quick. We move too soon. See, to date, I'm a single man. And many of the females that I've met think that I'm the greatest thing since Swiss cheese. But at the end of the day, I remain humble because now the decisions I made when I was a younger man, I'm not making so quick today. See, like Peter, I learned not to be so impetuous. Be moved by the ideology of the world. See, my pastor, when he told me that the situation I was getting into was right, but I didn't listen to him, love him. Didn't listen. So he was good. He still let someone marry us. But he said we weren't right. Not because we weren't good people. Each other. I guess the Spirit had told him. And down the road, but good God is good. We're best friends. We get along. We're good to go. But again, being impetuous, being young, being moved by what the world say do. But see, when you listen to God and lean not to your own understanding, he's going to ensure that you get his best, his absolute best. So anyone for a soulmate, what we need to do is, like I said from Proverbs 31, let's get to the heart of the matter. You need to work on yourself. We need to work on ourselves, spirit, mind, body, and soul. We need to develop ourselves in God's word. We need to take care of this house called the body. Yes, we need to take care of this house called the body. We need to take care, because why? Because the Spirit lives in it. So we need to take care of it, to educate ourselves. And I'm going to say I have to go to no formal college or institution, but we need to educate ourselves. You cannot stay in your house and think you know everything. You cannot. Let's get to the heart of the matter. You need to expand your world, and you need to expand it by letting the Holy Spirit lead you to the people of wisdom. And you need to have ears to hear. As I was telling someone, you need your hands open. Your hands need to be open because hands that are open, they can give and they can receive. So when people come to you and they say, oh, he ain't this or she ain't that, ask the question first, what about you? See, because I tell my son all the time, it's not about what they do, it's what you do. See, if I eat, you don't get fat. So you need to take care of yourself, develop yourself. I spoke about this in my other series. We need to develop ourselves. Love thyself, know thyself, take care of thyself, preserve thyself, look out for thyself. And someone got upset because they said, I was thinking just all about self. Oh, no. Oh, no. You become a recipient of the individual who develops themselves. Jesus did not go out half-cocked, if you will. Jesus waited 30 years before he went to go do his mission. He prepared himself. He developed himself. He improved himself than he was probably in the sense of the human level than he was at 15. He was wise, 13, I mean. He was wise as a 13-year-old. However, he knew he had to keep preparing. Then he was a disciple who executed his discipleship. He developed 12 people. Not one fell short, but at the end of the day, he developed them. He prepared them. As I like to say, we're on this journey, we got to pace ourselves. Preparation, get the right attitude. Be ready to commit. Be ready to execute. Be ready to expect that God's work that he begun in you is going to see you through. Let's get to the heart of the matter. See, we need to get deep. We need to get deep. You need to be like we should say when I was a scuba diver, divers do it deeper. We go deep into the water. Deep, because everything on the surface is shallow and you're missing the true pearls of life. You want to get a pearl, you got to go deep. You want God's words, you got to go deep. You got to get to the heart of the matter. See, that's the only way you're going to get the heart and mind of Christ. See, this is what that it's about, learning to become what God intended you to be. So why do you want to do this? What is this all about? I'm going to tell you now what it's all about. Why you go to church? You training up. You training up to get the heart of the soldier, the spirit of a soldier, because you got to go out and tell somebody. You got to go out and tell somebody, and you need to be prepared. You need to exercise that faith. I like the faith is the full assurance in the heavens. You've got full assurance that God will bring all things to your remember. Once you have something in you, you can bring something out of you. If you don't have God's word in you, you surely can't come out. And if you got some halfway of going about it, as you say, you're being lukewarm and not trying to get hot, then again, people are just going to spew you out. And there's a lot of smart people out there because Satan is good at what he do. He ain't going to be unemployed until Jesus returns. So in the meantime, he got a lot of employment, and he making it work. And we see this every day. We see it every day. But when we trust in God, we don't have to worry about plagues. When we trust in God, we don't have to worry about sickness. When we trust in God, we don't have to worry about being broke. When we trust in God, we don't have to be poor in spirit. When we trust in God, we don't have to be concerned about what we have to eat or what we're going to sleep. We don't have to be worried about that when you trust in God. See, when God is developing you, he gets to the heart of the matter. He gets to the heart of the matter. But we have had ears to hear. So that's an inclusion. If you really want to get to the heart of matter of Christ, you must accept Christ. Seek his kingdom. Renew your mind. Love him with all your heart and soul. Follow him. Did you know that Matthew jumped up after he seen Jesus? He jumped up and left it all. See, Matthew was viewed as a scoundrel. His reputation was equal to a harlot. But when he heard and he listened, he followed Christ. He followed Christ. Peter, Andrew, and John were fishermen. Give it all up. And they followed Christ. Because of Christ. He's really getting. But they followed Christ. Then we keep his word. Keep it in the midst of our heart. Back to the heart, people. Let's get out of the matter. Keep it in the midst of our heart. Then we have to trust him. Trust him with all our heart and soul. Everything we have. Now, I like to say, Lord, within my humanness, bear with me as he always do. But build my spirit, because I want you to create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit in me. Renew my mind. So therefore, it's easy to trust you because you have changed in me. You are transforming me to be what you intended me to be. Why? Because I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. So we have to believe in God. Because, see, by doing this, people, we get to the heart and matter of Christ. So how do you do this? I said a little earlier when I said you have to accept him. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou can be saved. See, God understands that it's important for us to change. And I just got the acronym from HURT, as I used to always say, that change initially is a conflict. You don't want to change. Then you experience a little hurt because you might be losing friends and family, girlfriend, men, whatever the case, money, whatever the case may be. Then you get a little angry, get a little attitude. Because now you I lost everything. You say, I have partners in, or as old Teddy Pendergrass used to say, where are all my friends? I used to lend them my cologne. They never gave it back. Now I don't have nothing. I'm out here all alone. Don't even have a girlfriend. I feel so all alone. But see, that don't matter, because you got a friend in Jesus. He will never leave you or forsake you. So we want to recognize the importance of the benefits that it comes with serving God, because this is all about people getting this knowledge and going to tell somebody. And they always say one person connected to 10, we can make an explosion of a revival to help people recognize your friends, your family. Be not afraid. Don't let nobody make you feel bad because you're not perfect. Or they remember what you used to be or what you used to do. See, you, this flesh, not relevant. It's the spirit. Let your spirit, or the Holy Spirit, if you will, rise up and be bold like John the Baptist. Have the courage of David to step up like a leader like Moses and let the world know that God's gospel, the good news, is what they want to have. And let them know you're just trying to get to the heart of the matter. So again, I like to say, if you like what we're presenting, go to Kingdom Builder Development and KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com, because there are many, many more people telling somebody that Jesus is Lord. Telling somebody about all the benefits of serving God. Because, people, this is temporal. You want to build your treasures up in heaven. Again, I always like to say, stay up, look up, and never give up on God. For I'm your host, Brother David, and I thank you for listening to the Spirit of a Soldier. I hope and I pray for everyone's family that God bless you in a mighty way. But when you get blessed, share it with somebody else. Keep open hands. Be open to receive and open to give, because God loves a cheerful giver. We'll see you next week. God bless.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain.